If you'll open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 6. As we continue preaching in our spiritual warfare series, title of the message today, Devils Arising. Devils Arising. They are arising. Subtitle is, An Examination of the Salem Witch Trials, and Nazi Germany with a Sober Warning for Our Age. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Dear Father, I do pray in the name of Jesus that you help us, Lord, to apply this Word. You've given us a good warning here, God. You have prepared us, and we know, Father, that we are living in evil days, and they're growing increasingly more wicked, Father. We do pray that we'll be alert, that we'll be ready, Father, that we'll have the armor on, because we need to wake up in this generation in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want you to see we wrestle against devils. That's what the Bible says. There's a war going on. We've examined the evil day. There are days more trying than others that you're going to have in your life where the devil is raging stronger than on other days. But the Bible says, as we've seen in past sermons, that our age will grow increasingly evil, so that these last days will be especially perilous. Evil manifestations. Listen to me. This is what I want to show today. Evil manifestations, even supernatural physical manifestations, increased at the first coming of Christ. And I believe we can expect the same things directly before the second coming of Christ. That is an increase in supernatural physical manifestations of the devil. Now, I want you to know, the primary thing the devil comes to do is destroy life. Do you know the devil comes to kill? It says in John chapter 8, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do, for he was a what? A murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. So he's the father of murder. He's the father of lie. So all of his empire, all of his government, everything that he wants to do is destroy mankind. How does the devil destroy mankind? Well, the first way he does it is he brings doctrinal lies. He brings false philosophies. So what you can understand is that in this last days that we're living in, the devil is bringing lie, wicked philosophies, false doctrine. Now, if the devil can keep somebody from believing the gospel, that's his main goal. Because then he can destroy a spirit for all eternity, because that spirit has to pay for its sins. See, every person's got to pay for their sins if you don't believe and trust Jesus Christ. Now, if you have trusted Christ, Satan is going to try to destroy your life physically, and he's going to try to ruin your testimony, and therefore you will not be found worthy to enter into the coming kingdom age. You will not be found worthy to reign with Christ. And we know we see that, where the Lord has the judgment seat of Christ that He's going to bring to every believer. And at the judgment seat of Christ, some will be faithful, some will be fruitful, and others will be found unprofitable. So the devil wants you to be unprofitable. So he brings up false doctrine. He brings up false doctrine to tell you that you're going to be, to incite you, to tempt you to be unprofitable at the coming judgment seat of Christ. He tries to destroy your physical life by giving you wrong ideas. He likes you to believe, well, I'm going to die anyway. I might as well abuse my body. That's from the devil. You understand that? So you believe these philosophies. You have destructive habits and you say, well, I can't change. Where did that come from? Did it come from God? That's the devil. So these are destructive philosophies. They are doctrines of devils. And the Bible assures us, 1 Timothy 4, that evil spirits will increase in the last days, and they will bring doctrines of devils. So you're not always going to see the devil in some type of physical manifestation. You're going to see the devil as an angel of light with ministers of righteousness bringing false doctrine. But the Bible says that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse deceiving. That's in 2 Timothy 3. And we know the devil often deceives mankind by pretending to bring truth and liberty. It says in 2 Peter 2, they promised them liberty. That's the doctrine of devils. God brings true liberty, but there's a false liberty that the devil wants to bring. Now, understand, I know you know all of this, but I hope you're being reminded today. But I have something to bring to you today, and I want you to understand, and do not miss the fact, that the devil and his evil spirits can also bring physical supernatural manifestation. Not just doctrines of devils, but physical supernatural manifestations. In the days of Moses, you did not just have doctrines of devils. You had an increase of demonic activity that manifested itself in supernatural physical manifestations. Do you know that the magicians, the sorcerers, the wizards, the witches of Egypt were able to duplicate some, but not all, of God's miracles, and they did it, according to the Bible, by their enchantments? Meaning that when people say, oh, that was all just superstition back then, you need to understand that according to your Bible, magic, to some degree, worked. Now, they can only go so far. Satan's power, listen, is weaker than God's power. They could not, I meant by a long shot. God just sends Michael the archangel to lock up the devil, you know. But my point is in Exodus chapter 8. Listen now. Pay attention. Notice it says, the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. So they helped curse Egypt. And that's something, right? That, you know, God's cursing Egypt, so He has the magicians come and help curse Egypt. Isn't that something? But this also shows you that sometimes sorcery pretends to do good things. See? Now, many of your forefathers throughout the centuries and many nations were indeed deluded. But modern man wants to pretend that his ancestors were ignoramuses. But you know what? This is the same generation that believes their great-grandfather was a baboon. So why not look at their forefathers and think that we have evolved to our day to be so much wiser? And so they look back upon ancient man as just being ignoramuses. But I'm going to tell you something. We keep finding out over and over and over, after looking at pictures and tales of these giant squids that come and are bigger than boats, you know, we mock and this generation loves to mock and say, you know, look what these superstitious people believe. They actually believe there were giant octopuses. Well, we got the technology to go down deeper and deeper and deeper, and we found out that some of these things are as big as a bus. Oh, I guess man wasn't as ignorant as you said he was. You know, they found this big bird that, I think over in New Zealand, they said that it could come and grab children and eat them and carry them away. And they said, oh, it wasn't even carnivorous. That was just a myth. And all of a sudden, now they found out evidence that it really was carnivorous. Over and over again, we find out that your forefathers were not as ignorant as modern proud man likes to maintain. You understand? So, you look back over these generations and you say, ah, superstition. Hey, some of that stuff worked. So, Satan allows some of it to work and actually bring forth physical, supernatural manifestations. Some of it is just trickery and delusion. But some of it is real. It's satanic power. And why wouldn't we believe that? We believe in God. There's Holy Ghost power. Why wouldn't you believe that Satan can give power? Now, he's only going to give power for his own ends. It's always going to end up cursing man. It's always going to end up turning to some horrible calamity. But you just need to understand that the devil will offer some people some power. Okay? Now, you know in the days of Jesus, the first coming, there were spiritual lies. There were false doctrines. There were various sects such as the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians and a lot of evil doctrine that was inspired by the devil. But don't miss this. At the first coming of Christ, there was an apparent increase, a great increase, in devil possession and supernatural occurrences. You read in the Bible about an angel, apparently a good angel, coming down and stirring a certain pool. And when he stirred the waters, what happened? Somebody was healed. You're at the first coming, and there are supernatural, angelic manifestations. There were various angels appearing to men and women in the Bible at the first coming, announcing Christ's birth. There was even a supernatural manifestation of a star in the sky. Now, it's therefore reasonable to expect not only an increase in deception before the second coming now, right in our day, but the same type of increases in supernatural physical manifestations. The Bible even talks about the lying wonders of the Antichrist. Luke chapter 21, Jesus says about the last days that great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights. What are they? There's going to be some fearful sights. What are those fearful sights? And great signs shall there be from heaven. See, we talk about the earthquakes, we talk about the weather problems, the hurricane, but what about this? What about great signs from heaven? Verse 25, there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea, and the waves roaring. Now remember, double prophecy. Jesus was prophesying about the first century events that would happen about 40 years later in AD 70, and there was a partial fulfillment of the Lord's word. But that partial fulfillment was greater than a lot of people realize. Not just one historian, Josephus, but Tacitus also records that there were amazing things. Around the time that the Jews were being attacked by Rome, there were chariot races. And not just one person, but over and over again, people were seeing chariots going back and forth and wars being accomplished in the sky. Not just one historian, but two record that there were signs in the sky. The book of Revelation shows that in the coming tribulation period, you have angels administering judgment. Angels will be loosed that were bound in certain waters, and many devils will actually be sent into the world to torment people. We know that's coming in the tribulation period. But we've seen that the coming tribulation period is likened unto a woman in labor with contractions building up to the final birth at the second coming. But before labor, there is often a preparatory period of contractions that build up to the full, true labor period. Which means we may expect in our day to see some preparatory manifestations of supernatural, devilish activity with signs in the sky, not just false doctrine going abounding, but also some physical, supernatural manifestations that will be the work primarily of evil spirits in these last days, letting you know that number one, they will be bringing forth these signs to try to ensnare people in their false doctrine. You understand? Are y'all listening?
Yes, sir.
They will try to ensnare people in false doctrine. And these supernatural wonders will be used for the purpose of ensnaring. Now the Bible says that you are to stand against evil spirits with your spiritual armor. You're to use truth and righteousness and soul winning and faith and the Word of God. You're to believe it, trust it. You're to use prayer. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And you're to especially stand in the evil day. When the Bible says there's going to be an increase in demonic activity, there's going to be an increase of heresies and deceptions, and these winds will be blowing with greater activity. But what I want you to know is that with this increase of demonic activity in the realm of doctrine and philosophy, there are going to be, I believe, physical manifestations that are supernatural. Just like at the first coming, the angel troubled the water. There was a star, but that's not all. As you see at the first coming, evil spirits were possessing people at an alarming rate. It's almost as if Israel had become some South American jungle with a bunch of voodoo. Where did all of these devils come from possessing people? There was an increase in supernatural demonic activity with physical manifestations at the first coming of Christ. And I believe that there will be an outbreak of demonic possession like never before in history at the second coming of Christ. The Bible appears to teach that there are various degrees of possession and influence. For example, an evil spirit troubled Saul. But in the Lord's time, we see actual outright possession. Hey, listen to me. Children were possessed at the time of the Lord's coming. How did those children get devils? Y'all got your paper here? Amen. I didn't go to all this trouble to put it down. If children can be devil possessed, and you're going to have an increase of devil possession in the last days before the Lord's coming, and Israel is already in the land, been there for many decades, what does this teach you? It teaches you that you better be careful in regard to this world and the things of the devil. Now we're going to take a look at some things in history that can be quite frightening to those that don't know the Lord. But I'm not here to give you a spirit of fear in an unhealthy way. You know, there's a fear of God that you should have. There's a fear of disobeying His warnings against occultism and magic and divination that you should have. And many people do not have this fear today. Magic is something cute and fun. But to keep you from having a satanic fear in an unhealthy way that a lot of people that have superstition end up having. I mean, there was one year I got up here, I did every single superstition that supposedly brought bad luck imaginable. I mean, come on, it's just ridiculous stuff. And there's common folks that still have some folk magic that call themselves Christians that probably heart was beating real fast when I'm doing some of these things. Like, what are you talking? What's the problem? See, you're practicing magic and don't even know it. But let me give you an interesting truth. Why was it that I was not afraid in an unhealthy way? Now, I'm not going to go practice divination. But I'm not afraid of opening an umbrella. It might be ridiculous to open an umbrella inside. But I'm not going to be afraid to open an umbrella inside. Or a silly thing. You understand what I'm saying? But listen in Numbers 23. The false prophet wizard in the Old Testament, Balaam, says, surely, surely means surely, doesn't it? Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob. Neither is there any divination against Israel. Isn't that good? I'm not afraid of a witch. I'm not afraid of some sorcerer. I'm not afraid of that stuff. One of them came to town one time that was famous from Vegas and had a guitar student come in and was shaking and crying and said, my mama had me go to this person and she knew everything about you and said amazing things and didn't even know I was taking guitar lessons from you. And can I tell you what that witch said? I said, I don't want to hear it. I don't care. I don't care. I'm not afraid of it. It's ridiculous. I don't even care to hear it. Amen. You know, we're not afraid of the devil. There's no enchantment against Jacob. I tell you, I'm a Christian. Amen? I'm a Christian. I've got the Holy Ghost. My great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was Dr. Faustus. And I hope he repented. Some stories say he repented. But I tell you one thing, I repented. Amen? Amen? I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust Jesus as my Savior. I believe Jesus Christ has come into flesh. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. And I trust the Savior Jesus Christ. There's no enchantment against Jacob. God protected His people against spells, against witchcraft. You don't have to be superstitious. But hold on a second. Now let's look at a warning that you ought to have. Let's look at a warning that you ought to have. It says in 1 John 5, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Paul uses the phrase to be renewed daily in the Lord. He talks about walking in the Spirit. And 1 John, written to Christians, is talking about not just your new birth, that you understand the gospel and you're saved in eternity, but he's talking about living out this new birth by yielding to the Lord. And not all Christians will yield. That's why he says, I write these things unto you that you sin not. Well, but he says right here, whosoever is born of God sinneth not. He means whoever is walking in fellowship with God, whoever is yielding to the Holy Ghost, sinneth not. Don't say that you're walking in the Lord's Spirit and then get out here and sin. You understand that? Okay, whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God, he that the Lord is working in, keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Now, if you're walking in obedience, if you have your armor on, you're not going to be afflicted by the devil. You're not going to be deceived by the devil. But if you're not walking in the whole armor of God, if you're not keeping yourself, then the wicked one can touch you. The wicked one can touch you. You get out here and sin. When Saul was walking in sin, it says the evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. You get out here and mess with sin, there will be an increase of demonic activity in your life. You get out here and mess with magic and occultism and set your children before a whole bunch of wicked witch occultism, and you're wondering why you have demonic manifestation of rebellion in your home. See, many Christians do not have a healthy fear of the Lord's warnings or of the devil's ways. To them, magic is cute. Wicked so-called fairies are fun. Witchcraft is seen as play. It's the magical world of Disney. Is magic fun? Is magic cute? Are sorcerers and sorcerers' wands, is that fun? Is it cute? Oh, we're not like Pastor Faust. He's one of those literalists and extremists, and he takes all that stuff literally. But we play with fairies. Yeah, I'll see you 20 years from now. Yeah, I'll see you 20 years from now. God's not mocked. God didn't go all that trouble to tell you that His name is jealous. Don't you even mention them false gods. And to stay away and not walk after the nations. Learn not the ways of the heathen. God didn't tell you all of that so He could sit back and be mocked. Do you understand? Notice that in the book of Revelation it says that when the tribulation period begins, the whole world will be filled with sorcerers. Where do all the sorcerers come from? Where did all these wizards and witches come from? Your generation. If we enter the tribulation period tomorrow, if the world enters the tribulation period tomorrow, it's these children growing up, practicing sorcery, thinking it's cute and fun. And I'm going to tell you something right now. They love to mock the Salem witch trials and blame that on Christians. But I'm going to tell you, in our day, they're just as hysterical, though with different labels. The Catholics during the Inquisition and in the Dark Ages, when they burned Christians like John Huss, the great preacher, when they burned him, they put a witch hat upon his head and condemned him to the fires of hell and burned Christians, calling them witches. So you've got people practicing magic, accusing other people that are good of witchcraft. Today, the new witch, they're not burning them yet, at least in our country, but the new witch for society is the fundamental Christian. You are the new witch. And when this hysteria breaks out, they're coming after you for negative thinking, believing that you are responsible for all of the calamities that are happening in the world because of your negative thinking. And there will be a witch hunt after you because you dare warn against their witchcraft and their abominations. It's all in the definition of witch. Who is the witch? But I want you to understand that manifestations of satanic spirits in the physical often follows manifestations in the realms of philosophy and heresy. When people start embracing satanic philosophies, before you know it, they are embracing satanic practices, and before you know it, they're starting to see manifestations of physical demonic activity. First there are evil deceptions, then there's the carrying out of these philosophies in practice, and then all of a sudden Christians begin to be persecuted. And then there will be a great increase in physical manifestations and signs of evil spirits. And in that great physical supernatural manifestation of evil spirits, that is a preparation warning that a satanic horror is about to be unleashed upon innocent people. This is what you see in history. You had great demonic activity at the time of Christ. 40 years later, there was an attack so horrible upon the Jewish people that people still think that was the tribulation period. But that wasn't the tribulation period. It's all going to replay again in a worse way. But let's think. Let's look through history and see how we've seen. First, bad philosophy, satanic philosophy. Second, an increase of demonic activity. And then finally, third, signs. And then finally, horrible, horrible satanic tragedy. You know, the 1950s, witches became fun. All the movies were about all of these monsters and magic, and kids ran to the movie theater to eat their popcorn and see all about the occult and sorcery. And Mama said, oh, they're just having fun. Y'all go down there and have fun and learn about your witchcraft and, you know, Hollywood, it's fun. Then the 1960s, it got a little more serious. Eastern mystical gurus came over and people started taking LSD and they started really practicing magic and smoking marijuana. Okay, now it's getting a little more intense. And you say, well, where was the great horror that came? 1973, abortion was mandated in America. And do you understand that innocent people are being killed? Do you understand? Innocent babies, how many have been killed? 50 million! Is witchcraft fun? Is witchcraft fun? 50 million innocent people killed in sacrifice to Mammon, the god of money. Okay, let's go back to Germany. In the late 19th century, anti-Semitism and spiritism, psychics, blossomed in Germany. It reached its height in the 1920s with fortune tellers and psychics all over the street. There was a great interest in the occult. Nicholas Goodrich Clark wrote The Occult Roots of Nazism. He says occult myths played a central role in Nazism. And when you go back and study the swastika and the theosophy of Blavatsky, you could see that Hitler and the Nazi Party embraced the writings of Madame Blavatsky in the occult theosophy movement, whose magazine was called Lucifer. And much of Germany was drenched in these occult philosophies and practices. And then, before you know it, Nazism, which they thought was a good thing, ended up not being a good thing. It became a bloodthirsty, murdering movement unleashed upon the German people. What is the pattern, folks? The pattern is an interest in the occult followed by horrible satanic tragedy. That's the pattern. Now, the philosophy of Blavatsky the witch had to do with Arianism. And so you had one kingdom, the German Empire, embracing Arianism, white supremacism. However, it unleashed just in Germany horrible satanic destruction. What if you take the philosophies of Blavatsky, apply them in a way so that all races, and now the whole world, can become one big giant Germany? What's it going to unleash upon the world? What you have in the past 10 years, what you have seen, is Madame Blavatsky's theosophy unleashed upon the world with her Crowleyism. It's no longer Arianism or nationalism. It's international, spread around the world. What are these philosophies, Church of God? What are they going to ripen into? If they took root in Germany and exploded into the horrors of the Nazi Holocaust, what's going to happen when these philosophies around the world come to fruition? What are they going to explode into worldwide? I believe the Bible calls it the tribulation period. Now, if these warnings are not enough for you, if Germany was not a good lesson, Let's go back to Salem witch trials of 1692. Salem was a part of the early Massachusetts colony. And as you go back and see the early Massachusetts colony, a book I'm writing goes into these things in more detail, but I want to just remind you quickly of the true history, because the humanists have got a hold of this history and have perverted it. But early in the 17th century, when the Massachusetts colony was founded, it began to persecute many Baptists, okay? It had a persecuting legalism spirit. Baptists were banished from the land. This continued later, and many were whipped and imprisoned. Quakers were executed. Baptists, the first Baptist church in America colonies, led by John Clark, he held to grace. He held to a covenant of grace. But these Massachusetts Puritans were legalists. They said you have to look at your works to see if you're saved and hope all your life that you're a Christian, always looking at your works. But the Baptists came and said, you're under a covenant of works. You folks are just like the Roman Catholic. Well, they persecuted the Baptists and banished them out to the wilderness. Is that a good spirit or is that a satanic spirit? Is that a godly philosophy or is that a satanic philosophy? So the Massachusetts colony was founded upon some ungodly satanic philosophies disguised as Christianity. Okay? Before long, in 1639, according to people that were there, Governor Winthrop, the first so-called UFO in America was seen near Boston, right there in the same colony. He writes about it. He said, so they didn't call it a UFO, they didn't know what to call it. But he writes and says two men were fishing in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden a giant pig came down, and it was hovering in the sky, and all of a sudden, when they saw the light of that giant pig, their boat was back at shore instantly. They're not laughing when they give you this history. They're reporting it as this really happened in 1639. Okay, what do you have here? You've got some persecution based on some evil philosophies in a Massachusetts colony. Now you're starting to see demonic manifestations. 1639. Then several years before the outbreak at Salem, children began displaying supernatural demonic manifestations. The Bible says children can be devil possessed. This history is downplayed or ignored because there's people that want to give you a false history. They don't want you to see what was really going on in that colony, see. Almost everyone at the time and for a while afterwards believed that there were demonic manifestations at Salem. That it was not all just delusion. But soon it became fashionable among many of the educated as the decades began to get farther away from 1692. Many of the educated began to say, you know what? There were no supernatural manifestations. All the girls were faking their fits. You're telling me you're going to take little 9-year-old girls? You're going to take all these little girls and they're all going to fake? They're going to just deceive everybody. You know what? If that's not devil possession, I don't know what it is. To watch people being hung and then to go and start naming other people in town and to go around a whole community so good people that are innocent start being hung, and as they're crying out for mercy and pleading for mercy, these little girls start saying, no, no, she's the one that did it. She's the one that did it. If that's not devil possession, I don't know what is. So the theory of delusion doesn't even make sense. Because they always have to end their delusion theory by saying, but it's hard to explain the wickedness of these girls that would have faked such a thing. Well, yeah, it's hard to explain. The only time you've seen anything like that is with the psychological drugs in our generation. But what you need to know is that when they began to adopt this theory that the girls were just faking it, and that you had good Christians overreacting, Westcott and Hort, that are responsible for the false Bibles in America today, Westcott and Hart began to say, so we shouldn't be afraid of magic. We shouldn't be afraid of sorcery. And they started the Ghost Club in their college. And they began to investigate mediums and psychic phenomena and demonic occurrences. And to get information from mediums and to ask them questions and study them. And then you had a revival spawned by Westcott and Hort, but it spread throughout all the world to where everybody is gathering together on the weekend, or lots of people are gathering together on the weekend. Listen to me. They're gathering together on the weekends and they're having seances where they're trying to get in touch with their great-grandma. What enabled the world? What enabled the world to dive into magic and occultism in the 1800s? It was the false view of the Salem witch trials that said, look, they were afraid of magic and they ended up burning witches, so therefore, let's get rid of those old superstitious theories and let's go investigate magic. Well, number one, no witches were burned at Salem. That's a fact. They were hung. It's horrible. Number two, there are some historians and writers that have written books to prove that some of them that were executed were real witches. And I'll show you that here in a minute. Some of them were innocent, godly Christians. So now we have a world where spiritism began to spread because people were no longer afraid of witchcraft. If any time you said you ought not be sitting down trying to talk to your grandma who's dead, that's divination. They said, oh, you're just like one of those people in the Salem witch trials, you know. And it's been used ever since. You try to tell people not to get into Harry Potter because it's real magic, it's real spells. What do they say? Oh, that's just like what those Christians thought back in the Salem witch trial. See, it's continued to be justified. So now everybody's playing with magic like never before in history. Y'all wait? Because I got a lot more to teach you here. William F. Poole in 1870 wrote the introduction of Hutchinson's Witchcraft Delusion of 1692. And here's what he said in 1870. That there were fraud and deception involved, no one will doubt. But there is now a tendency to trace an analogy between the phenomena then exhibited and modern spiritual manifestations at seances. No man of any reputation who lived in that generation and saw what transpired at Salem doubted that there was some influence then exerted which could not be explained by the laws of matter or of mind. So William F. Poole's saying, you know, this new theory that this stuff wasn't real. You know, now, because of we're starting to see what's happening in these seances, we're starting to believe that stuff really was real. But it's too late now. You've already got everybody diving into the spiritism, demonic divination movement, and it's too late. So after the UFO in 1639, let's go back and see. You had persecution when the colony was founded. In 1639, you had UFO supposedly sightings. Then supernatural things began to increase in the colonies to such a degree that increased Mather in 1684, that's many years before the Salem witch trial, produced a book called Remarkable Providences. And he began to record some of these supernatural wonders that were happening in the colonies. In 1662, notice that's years before 1692, in 1662, Ann Cole began to have extreme fits. She said her tongue was made to say things she did not want her tongue to say. She began to speak in strange gibberish and even some strange languages that everybody documented that she did not know. What was going on? I'll tell you what was going on. Historians that were eyewitnesses at the time said the idea that everybody's a nice Puritan in those colonies was not true. You had some that professed Puritanism, but they were really witches. You had people practicing fortune-telling and magic and palm-reading and all types of occultism. And even those in the churches had some superstitions that they practiced that were really divination, even though they professed to be holy believers. So you had witchcraft being practiced in the American colonies, and now what's happening? Manifestations of devil possession. In 1671, a maid began to jerk and twitch and could not stop. She began to laugh and cry for no reason. Then she began to roar. And then she would have violent agitations on the ground. And then all of a sudden, words began to come out, reviling the pastor. Then she began to accuse a very holy lady. Praise God, at this time, people were sane enough that the holy lady walked over to the devil-possessed lady and tenderly prayed with her. And as she prayed with her in the name of Jesus, the lady started sobering and confessed that she had been deluded somehow. But you see what the devil's trying to do? He's trying to light a fire. He's trying to light a fire. 1679, according to Increase Mather, in one home, and by the way, this was published in 1684, before the witch trial. So in 1679, in one home, pots began to be thrown about. Amazing things would occur. Frying pans would fly off the stove and try to hit people in the head. It would be beyond the ordinary. And it finally culminated in a boy in his chair rising. And everybody, men would try to grab the chair, but the chair would go up in the air. And people couldn't stop the chair from floating up in the air. And then they would send him into the bed. His bed would begin to shake. And then all of a sudden his bed would begin to come up off the ground. Finally, he had knives stuck in his back. And they would walk over and pull knives out of his back. And then there would be another fork stuck in his back. And they said, "What in the world's going on?" And they would pull the fork out. And all of a sudden, something came out of his mouth. It was a knife stuck in his mouth. You don't just have one person verifying this. Finally, the boy began to bark and cluck, like in many so-called charismatic churches, having so-called revivals, writhing, having the same agitations and jerks. What's going on, folks? What's going on? So you say, well, where are these demonic manifestations today? Hey, go online. You'll see people trying to give an offering, and they think they got the joy of the Lord, and everybody's falling around and laughing in ways that are just demonic, and they're jerking, and they're on the floor like in a South American voodoo cult. That's happening all around America today. They don't call it witchcraft, but it's witchcraft. Finally, as this boy began to bark and cluck and run away, they found him later, creeping, lame, saying that something took him over the top of the house. After weeks of this insanity and bizarre manifestations, he began to eat ashes and sticks. Say, what does that teach you? That teaches me that when the devil gets on you, he makes you eat a bunch of trash. And to whatever degree you're yielded to the devil, you eat stuff that will destroy you. So after the persecution in the early 1600s, after the so-called UFO pig and the supernatural manifestation in the mid-1600s, now you're having this outbreak. And you know what people did? All the neighbors came over and they tried to use divination occultism to stop the devil possession. So Increase Mather rebukes the magic of the people and says it is a sport to the devils when they see silly men thus deluded and made fools of by them. So Mather goes on to say, all of this stuff that you're using to try to fight, come in here and put in oil. You ever see people come and they say, I'm going to put oil all in and they'll get rid of the spirits. What are you doing? Mather said they would bring herbs and incense and they said, this will get rid of the spirits. They don't like this smell. And Mather shows that this comes from the Talmud. It comes from the Babylonian occult traditions that the Jews picked up. It doesn't come from the Bible. They would have spells and words. And the people said, I know how to get rid of this devil and these manifestations. Just say certain words or certain Bible verses. But you know, the Bible, it's not meant to be a spell book. You understand that? I believe the Word of God drives away Jesus, drives away the devil. But when Jesus used it, when the Word of God was used by Jesus, He rebuked the devil on the principles of the Word of God. It's not to just be used like a spell. You have to believe it. The Apocrypha also endorses such lies, that you could use these fumes and things like that to drive away evil spirits. You know, you see the same thing in the Indians, and you see it in paganism all over the world. This is something you need to know. It wasn't just Christians that believed in witches. Witches have been believed in all cultures, in all ages, in all lands. Everybody believed in witches. So it's not that Christianity brought this belief in witchcraft. The common people believed in witchcraft, with or without the Bible. Mather warns Christians not to imitate the heathen. He says these things have entered into professing Christian churches where words are spoken in a magical way to try to drive away the devil. Mather says you're acting like superstitious Catholics in some countries. He foresees one objection and he says, well, what about the music that David played that drove away the spirit from Saul? And he goes on and he argues in a very insightful way that the devil can take advantage of your physical and emotional state. So if you give your mind over to him by your depression, he can come in and use it for his evil. So when David played and it soothed the emotions of Saul, then the devil was limited in what he could do, because the devil can use your physical infirmities and your emotional infirmities to get a foothold. And the Lord said that to Cain. The Lord said, if you're depressed, if your face is fallen, sin lies at the door. And if sin lies at the door, then so does the devil. So my point is the devil can use your depression, can't he? The devil can use your bad health. The devil can use all of these things that you do. It gives the devil a foothold in your life. So if you want to give somebody a healing herb that really does restore health, and you're not doing some witchcraft, then that could help them. Have less of a temptation and have the joy of the Lord. But let's go on. After giving example of levitation and demonic possession through various decades, Mather tells of other houses where things were thrown and there were sounds of drums. That's interesting. One minister walked into a house and I believe an iron bedstaff came and slammed against him, but he had no pain. Praise God for that. Amen. He goes on to tell of appearances and apparitions. He goes on to tell of strange weather occurrences. And all of this, UFOs, demonic possession, levitation, all of these things, with people using magic to try to stop it. What do you think is going to happen? What did Germany culminate into? A horrible Holocaust. What did the 60s revival of occultism culminate into? 500 million dead babies. 50 million. What do you think? Is going to happen there in Salem? It culminated in a horrible, horrible period of trials in 1692 that resulted in the execution of some very good Christians that were innocent. There's more, though. Years before the outbreak, Increase Mather had written that he had another problem. He said, when somebody is devil-possessed, you go to the devil-possessed person to try to get information. And he said, that's just wrong. These devils can lie. And these people that are devil-possessed say, I see the ghost of so-and-so hovering over them. They called it spectral evidence. And Increase Mather said, that's wicked. But the people were addicted to using magic to fight magic. So according to Upham, which was a Unitarian writing in the 1800s, there was a minister there that had a slave from South America. And although many tried to deny it, according to her testimony, and according to Upham, and by the way, this Unitarian, Charles Upham, people like to follow him when he paints the Mathers in a bad light. And many wrote books showing that he didn't have the history right about that. But when he says that these girls were practicing divination, it's now fashionable for people to say, oh, well, there's no evidence that they were practicing divination. The whole community was practicing fortune telling and divination. And according to Tituba's testimony, they experimented with witchcraft with those children. And this minister allowed his children to play little fantasy games with this servant from South America that taught witchcraft. But you didn't need to have the servant from South America teach witchcraft. It was in the land, folks. Interestingly, Tituba, which many think was a real witch, according to some historians, was the only one that escaped. One of the only ones. She was never prosecuted. Well, anyway, these little girls, and some of them older, after practicing this divination, soon began to have violent outbursts during sermons. Or when the preacher would speak, they would just shout out. Then they would run into the fireplace. Mark chapter 9. Then they would fall into convulsions. Mark chapter 9 verse 20. Then they would make animal noises and crawl under chairs, as in some charismatic so-called revivals. They seized with spasm, dropped to the floor. They writhed in agony. They suffered dreadful tortures, uttering loud and piercing cries, sometimes in male voices. You don't have to be afraid of these things. What you got to be afraid of is messing with magic. You understand? You children don't mess with magic. Jesus is with you. Amen? Jesus is with you. You don't have to fear this stuff. But I have to preach this type of stuff because we got a generation that thinks magic is cute. And if I don't go back and look at this history, as dreadful as it is, we're not going to get sober. You're going to think I'm just extreme. So after these outcries and spasms, the girls began to accuse innocent people of afflicting them. And as some historians say, probably some real witches as well got in on the whole thing. The magistrates at the time used testimony from the girls who said they saw the apparition of certain people. There was even a witch cake that Tituba, the servant girl, lady, said, this is how you find out. Get the girl's urine and put it in a cake and have the dog eat it, and whoever the dog points to will be the witches. And the magistrates of the land used this. They believed it. They used other forms of divination, such as touch, to where they believed that the guilty person, if they touch the devil-possessed person and the devil-possessed person stops, they believed that was proof that the person was guilty. There was no justice. You were guilty until proven innocent like in the Catholic Inquisitions. And it was hard to prove your innocence. It's like modern CPS. Well, we got some witch trials going on today, don't we? Increase Mather and his son Cotton Mather and other Boston ministers protested the use of this spectral evidence. They protested the forms of divination that were being used. They called it demonic. They said, you're going to the devil to defeat the devil. And he said, you're going to be sorry. History's going to look back and you're going to be sorry. If they had faults, their faults were, their outcries were weak. As people were sitting in prison, writing and appealing to the preachers. See, it wasn't so much the preachers that were responsible for the Salem witch trials, it was the magistrates. The preachers wrote, this is demonic, and this isn't right. These trials aren't fair. And the Boston ministers tried to stop it. If I have anything to say about it, I say, why didn't they all rip their shirts and march together up there and look at the magistrates in the face and rebuke them and say, this is murder and this is wicked? They knew it. They were just too quiet. They protested, but they were just too quiet. And this is the problem of Christians down through the ages. You're just too quiet. You know things are wrong. You got the light to see. You're just too quiet. And I don't want history to be replayed in our land. I want them to look back and say that we did a little more. Can't you get up and at least protest? Can't you cry out against the sins of this land? The lieutenant governor at the head of the court protested. The devil could never assume the shape of an innocent person. After 20 to 24 innocent people had died horrible deaths, a repentance came upon the land. Even one of the chief accusers later repented, confessing that she had been deluded by Satan. But the wickedness was already done. What is the lesson from this? Well, if you go to humanistic school or watch humanistic TV, you're going to be told the lesson is, don't worry about witchcraft. It's all just fun. Is that the lesson you get from this? The lesson I get from this is that occultism is evil. And beware of people that try to use magic to get rid of magic. A few years ago, people began to use hypnotism to take people back in their past. And it entered into the Christian churches. And it began to be a fad. And grown people would be hypnotized to find out this memory that lay dormant of their father and mother molesting them. And it was a witch trial. But what was the evidence for this witch hunt that put people in jail and caused a lot of harm and tragedy in people's lives? What was the evidence? Hypnotism, which is Eastern mystical occultism. Nobody was burned in Salem. There was false accusation. But the false accusations were based upon the use of divination. And many Christian ministers tried to stop it. You had Bob Larson and many others a few decades ago holding seminars on radio shows where they talked to the devils and they got information from the devils and they were supposed to be expert. And these people would roar and writhe and blaspheme on the radio. And amazingly, he could tell the devils that he needs to go to a commercial break. It's just amazing. Unitarian Charles Upham, who I believe is unfair to Cotton Mather, but nevertheless, even he, as a liberal Christian in 1867, gives the following warning. Enlightened reflection, common sense, natural prudence would seem to be sufficient to keep men from meddling at all with practices or countenancing notions from which all history proclaims that no good has ever come, but incalculable evil flowed. There is no essential distinction between the old and the new belief and practice. He's saying the seances today, it's just like back then, listening to a bunch of devils talk. The consequences that resulted from the former would likely be to result from the latter if it should obtain universal or general credence. Hey, guess what? It's retained universal acceptance today. If there was anything supernatural in the witchcraft of 1692, if any other than human spirits were concerned at all, one thing is beyond a doubt. They were shockingly wicked spirits and led those who dealt with them to the utmost delusion, crime, and perdition. And this example teaches all who seek to consult with spirits in our day the lesson of Salem, even from a Unitarian, is don't mess with magic. Is that the lesson being presented today? Has magic died? Everybody uses Salem to give a free pass to the worst forms of occultism. Two of Tolkien's occult books have sold over 100 million copies. The blasphemous Da Vinci Code has sold 80 million copies. Think and Grow Rich with its witchcraft has sold 70 million copies. The Harry Potter, one of their books, have sold 50 million copies. The whole series has sold 450 million copies. Goosebumps, with its wicked occultism, has sold 350 million copies. Twilight, with its occultism, has sold 160 million copies. The top grossing movies of all time up there are Avatar and Star Wars and Harry Potter with all of their occultism. What's it going to produce, folks? If you think the folk magic in the Massachusetts colony produced that chaos, if you think the experimenting with psychic produced the Nazi Holocaust, what is all of this going to produce? What's it going to produce? In 1999, when Harry Potter was published in America, the year before, Teen Witch, Wicca for a New Generation was published. A few years later, TV shows and children games and books and websites exploded with interest in Wicca. Teenagers dabbling with real witchcraft. What's it going to produce? What's it going to produce? UFO sightings just in the past 3 years have increased 67%. Have we seen a rise of demonic manifestations in our day? Click online and take a look at some of these churches. There's an epidemic of suicide. Where's that coming from? Hey, it was the devils that tried to throw these children into the fire. Where's this epidemic of suicide coming from? There's bizarre murders and shooting. And I know wicked drugs are involved in a lot of this, if not most of it. But that's witchcraft too. But how would you recognize devil possession today? Mankind, with its modern psychobabble, calls it a disorder. How many manifestations of devil possession are we seeing today that because we don't want to make the mistakes of the Salem witch trials, we're saying that's just a disorder? Well, let me show you something very interesting. If you say, well, that disorder has a natural cause, that doesn't rule out that there's devils involved. Let me show you. Devils can invade the physical. Luke chapter 13. Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. She wasn't speaking in some strange tongues, was she? She wasn't writhing on the floor. She was just bent over, bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And Jesus says, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed? Who had bounded her? Satan. How did he do it? With a spirit of infirmity. How many people are suffering because an evil spirit... Y'all believe the Bible? I believe the Bible. How many people are suffering with infirmities that are demonic because they've been messing with things they shouldn't mess with? She didn't have an attitude of infirmity. She didn't have a mind frame of infirmity. She had a devil of infirmity. Now listen, all sickness is not demonic. We see that in the Bible. But some of it is. Some of it's because people have been messing with things they shouldn't mess with. And because somebody's not blaspheming the Lord, they say, well, they don't have a devil. How do you know? It doesn't even say the evil spirit struck her with infirmity. Job was smitten by the devil with boils. But she had a spirit of infirmity. It was on her, in her. Luke chapter 11, he was casting out a devil and it was what? Dumb. They were dumb devil. Meaning it produces the inability of people to talk. And when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake. The point is, there are often physical afflictions of evil spirits. And even so, this doesn't rule out a physical cause. It can occur along with it. You can open yourselves up to these devils. You say, do we see any of this happening today? I don't know. What about some of these children that nobody can explain what's wrong to them? I understand there's wicked things in these vaccines. I understand there's wicked things in our environment. I understand there's wicked things in the air and in the water. Fluoride all over your food. Horrible things. But I see that as part of the devil trying to destroy people. I see the devil in all of that. And how do you know a lot of these things aren't due to devils? All of a sudden you've got all these teens experimenting with witchcraft. It's become fashionable to get into witchcraft. Now all of a sudden you're starting to have seizures break out all over the land. So that's just epilepsy. Are you sure? Are you sure? With all these teens playing with witchcraft, they're starting to have strange jerks and twitches. Let me just give you an example. CNN, February 4th, just yesterday. In the tiny New York town of Leroy, one thing is for sure. Since October 16th, 16 people suddenly have developed uncontrollable twitching and verbal tics. 3 months later, they and the rest of the town are still wondering why. Doctors have diagnosed most of them with conversion disorder. What's that? They don't know. They're saying you are twitching in a strange way. We'll call it conversion disorder. Why are they going to the psychologist? Because they think the preachers cannot be trusted. Because they got a wicked, wrong view of the Salem witch trial. See? I'm not saying not go to a doctor, if you could find a good doctor. I'm saying you need to treat the whole man. You need to treat the whole man. Doctors have diagnosed most of them with conversion disorder, saying that stress is the likely root of their physical problems. I mean, they're hollering out with verbal outbursts, and some people believe they're faking it. But the diagnosis has done nothing to explain why so many people from the same small town, 14 teenage girls, a teenage boy, and a 36-year-old woman started displaying these symptoms within the same time period. You know what I believe? This might turn out to be nothing, but I believe you haven't seen anything yet. I believe this stuff's going to become commonplace. It's like, oh, well, there's another town where everybody's twitching. It's just going to be normal. Just like teen suicide and all these other things have become accepted to some degree in our communities. All of the teens attend Leroy Junior Senior High School. So the attention has turned there. School officials say everything is safe. Environmental organizations and some parents aren't so sure. I mean, while you're looking at the fracking and all this other stuff, be sure to look at what they're watching on TV. That's all I say as a preacher. And believe me, I preach against bad health and destroying our environment. But I'm telling you, you need to look at what they're doing. I'm not saying necessarily that every person that's developed these is somehow guilty, but I'm saying you need to put it out as a possibility that this could be a demonic manifestation based upon the magic. You've seen the same things in Salem. They're even calling it mass hysteria. They're liking it into the Salem witch trial. But they're not looking at a demonic cause based upon the magic that society is participating in today. The school hired an independent firm in December to test for compound. The report found nothing dangerous. Air quality test was normal. Prior to this week, these strange symptoms has been confined to the teenagers from Leroy Junior High School. That all changed Tuesday when a 36-year-old woman told CNN that she also has been diagnosed. Fitzsimmons is a nurse, and she hasn't worked since being diagnosed. Her doctor told her that long-suppressed memories of abuse as a child had suddenly erupted like a volcano. There they go again. You must have been abused as a child. Who did this to you? Well, I know we're right here again, aren't we? Same stuff all over again. At this point, I have to have faith in my doctors, she says. The girls were from different grades. Some knew each other, others did not. There was a strange UFO sighting in the town in 2009. You see the same type of thing in the Bible in Mark 9. One of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. That's the same thing these girls are doing. And it wasn't happening all the time, just all of a sudden it just starts happening. I spake to thy disciples, and they could not cast him out. They could not. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came into him? And he said, of a child. And it oftentimes cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou can't do anything, have compassion on us and help us. I close as Sister Susie comes and gives us a song. You could stay in your seat today, but I do want a repentance in the house of God if you have been careless in regard to magic. I just want to tell you, church, evil is no game. You understand that? Evil is no game. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Magic's not a game. The Bible says in Mark 9, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. Horrible times are coming. Unless there is a great repentance across this land. Unless Christian parents and grandmamas that think magic is fun, unless they start getting down on their faces, listening to the preachers, most of all, listening to the Bible. And we need some preachers to start getting some sobriety in the Word of God. Amen? Unless we get straight, folks. Horrible, horrible things are going to occur. But why don't you protect yourself? Let's protect our church. Let's protect this new generation. Dear Lord, bless us in the name of Jesus.